Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of my basement here on Long Island in New York, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We welcome you in on this Friday edition of the show, and we do appreciate you listening to us, whether it's across your great local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 206, or the radio.com application. Number to hang, as always, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You could always give me a follow and shoot me a tweet via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. And on our network's account, at CBS Sports Radio. We got Stuart Kovacs back in our New York City headquarters on location producing this extravaganza, the great Mike Baseglia and Ryan Trace Hickey, and we're all coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Three guests for you during the course of the next 4 hours. Coming up in 15 minutes from now, we're going to be joined by Chase Briscoe. And we touched on this story yesterday where Chase Briscoe did defeat Kyle Busch to get a victory in the NASCAR Xfinity Series race in Darlington. And that is such an important victory and a career-defining victory for Chase Briscoe. But the story is so much more than that, because the race was actually supposed to happen on Tuesday. And because of the weather, the race did not happen. They actually had to sit through another delay on Thursday of nearly 5 hours. But on Tuesday, Chase Briscoe, while the rain was coming down, did FaceTime his wife, who was getting a checkup, as the couple was supposed to have a baby coming up in December, a baby girl. And they got the unfortunate news then, when Chase Briscoe and his wife are on the call, that his wife did suffer a miscarriage. And then you fast forward through Thursday, or to Thursday from Tuesday, after the awful news that no couple, no family should go through. And you did see the emotional scene unfold where Chase Briscoe not only participates in the race, but ends up getting a victory, defeating Kyle Busch. So Chase Briscoe, kind enough to give us a few minutes, and he's going to join us for a very emotional conversation, I'm sure, coming up in at 6:20 p.m. Eastern. So we're looking forward to having that chat with him, and do appreciate him giving us some time. At 7 p.m. Eastern, Derek Stepan from the Arizona Coyotes, the former New York Ranger, is going to stop by. And then at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, we will be joined by Mike Fisher, who covers the Cowboys and also the Dallas Mavericks for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He is going to join us. So there's a whole lot that will happen on the show today. As we got to get to Dak Prescott, we will talk the potential return for hockey with Derek Stepan. And of course, we'll have a conversation with Chase Briscoe. Where I want to start the show today is actually where we started the show yesterday, and that's with Dak Prescott. As we've heard through the last month and a half, about this contract dispute that is going on with Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, where Dak Prescott got the franchise tag, and through then, it really even goes back to last year, where they did not get a contract extension done. They did extend Ezekiel Elliott, and you did have Amari Cooper then was scheduled to hit free agency this year. They get the extension done and squared away. So you have Zeke taken care of from last year, Amari Cooper taken care of from this year. And if you're Dak Prescott, you're sitting around waiting and wondering when is your contract going to get done. And we keep on hearing, and this is not new information, but we keep on hearing that this is a fight between 4 and 5 years. And usually you would think the player would want more years, but in this case, the Dallas Cowboys want more years because Dak Prescott wants another contract with them after the 4-year deal, and he wants to expedite the process of that and getting that next contract because how the salary cap continues to rise from year to year in the National Football League. Now, what will the salary cap look like next year with the certain situation that we're in right now with the coronavirus pandemic? I don't know. And there's a lot to be unknown right now, and it could maybe dip for the first time in a while. But for the most part, through all the reports that we've read through, and in a time like this, whenever a quote-unquote new report emerges, we really sometimes, because there's not a lot of news there, it carries a little bit more than on a regular day, a typical day in the news cycle. And I think a lot of people forget that this discussion of 4 and 5 years with the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott has been one that we've been having for almost a month. And from everything you gather, the Dallas Cowboys want to do a 5-year deal of $34, $35 million a year. And Dak Prescott wants to do a 4-year deal between $34 and $35 million a year. So you're basically getting, on the Prescott side, he wants somewhere between $136 to $140 million over 4 years. And on the Cowboys side, they're saying, we want to invest 5 years, anywhere between $170 to $175 million spread out throughout that 5 years. And today, because it really all did start where earlier in the week you had the Chris Sims report where people hear, oh my goodness gracious, Dak Prescott turned down $175 million over 5 years. To me, that's not a surprise because the deal isn't done. Now, do I think it's foolish of Dak Prescott to turn down that money? Yes, I do. I think that is more than a fair price. It's even more than fair because I don't believe Dak Prescott right now is a great quarterback. But if you do the simple math and you multiply 35 five times, you get $175 million. And that's out there that the Cowboys offered Dak a $34, $35 million a year contract over 5 years. Well, if we're sitting here right now and even before the Sims report and we knew that information and they don't have an agreement, and they don't have a contract extension, that means two things. One, Dak Prescott never responded to the Cowboys. When you're talking about that much money, you're going to respond. Or two, the response was no, and they countered with something else, which would be the 4 years. The only thing that was different and new in the Sims report, it wasn't the first part, it was the second part, where Chris Sims reported that Dak Prescott asked for $45 million a year in the final year of the contract. So he rejected the $175 over five. And then according to Chris Sims, that final year, if they were going to go to a fifth year, he wanted that fifth year to be $45 million. Now, many people have come out since, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, and they have refuted that report. So there's a lot of misconfusion here. And there's really no new information, so you needed some clarity today. Mike Fisher provided that, and I also did read Clarence Hill as well, who once again reiterated that the last offer the Cowboys made came in late March, and according to a source, it was a 5-year deal for more than $34 million annually, but it did not reach $35 million, which would match the salary of the league's highest-paid player, which is Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. So once again, you're in that range of the offer being somewhere between $170 to $175 million over 5 years. And Dak Prescott doesn't want that. So what could be the holdup? The source, according to Clarence Hill, also indicated that on that offer, The guaranteed money in the Cowboys' latest offer, which is going back to late March, did match Los Angeles Rams quarterback Jared Goff, which is a NFL record of $110 million guaranteed. Once you digest all that information, I ask the question, what is preventing this deal getting done? And we know what that answer is. It's a fight right now between Dak and the Dallas Cowboys, Dak wanting 4 years and the Dallas Cowboys wanting 5 years. And I asked the question, what's the end goal? And the obvious answer, when you hear what's the end goal, it's that the Dallas Cowboys want to get a deal done. And surprise, surprise, Dak Prescott also wants to get a deal done. They just want the deal done on different terms. So it's really no longer a question of if the deal gets done. It's just a matter of when the deal gets done. And the deadline for an extension with Dak Prescott being on the franchise tag is July 15th. So with how we started the show yesterday, and when you digest that information and really think it out and remember the older reports, which really there was no new information, if you had to make me say yes or no, does a deal get done before July 15th? I would think and I would anticipate that a deal gets done. Because this is not that the Cowboys don't want to pay Dak Prescott. They do want to pay Dak Prescott. Heck, they offered him a deal between $34 to $35 million annually over 5 years. That's nothing to sneeze at and say, oh, they're bluffing. Or, oh, they're lowballing him. They're paying him a big time, large amount of money, which would make Dak Prescott one of the most lucrative players in the league. So I then ask the question, what's the end goal for Dak Prescott? Clearly, he wants a 4-year deal. So if the Cowboys then say, we'll give you somewhere between $136, $140 million over 4 years, does that get it done? Would the Cowboys then want less than 110 of it guaranteed? And then if Dak is going to take the 5-year deal, how much more money does he want guaranteed from the $110 million that was already offered on that 5-year deal? So I would have to imagine, and this is what is known, it's a fight right now on the years, but then I'll raise the question, is it also a fight on the guaranteed money? This seems too obvious to not get done. This is not a discussion on if you think Dak Prescott is going to be an elite quarterback. That's a fair discussion to have, but in this case, the Cowboys offering him a deal between $34 to $35 million over 5 years, where you're going to give him, you know, basically $175 million over 5 years, they're telling you they think he's going to be elite. They're telling you they think he's going to take that next step and go from being good to great. So if you think that, are we really going to let this play out that much longer over a fight over 1 year of the contract where the Cowboys want to go an extra year and Dak doesn't want to go an extra year? He wants 1 year less and he wants it to be from 5 to 4. Once you agreed on the money per the average annual salary, you would think that at this point, with how much time has elapsed, that they would be able to get a deal done by now. But then yet again, they haven't. So I really do wonder what is going to make a compromise happen. What does Dak want if he's taking a 5-year deal? And then if Dak refuses to take the 5-year deal, which I would take it in a second, $175 million over 5 years or whatever it is, I would take that ballpark range, $170, $175 million over 5 years in a second. But if he is really set on a four-year contract, if you're the Cowboys and you believe in him to get a five-year deal, don't you have to kind of then, by July 15th, say, okay, we'll do your four-year deal? So whatever the numbers look like and the years look like, that's going to be the part to watch. But at this point, I feel confident that a deal will get done. It's just taking longer than expected, but both sides know they have to figure out these details by July 15th. 15 past the hour, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we talked about it in the open. We talked about it yesterday. Chase Briscoe did defeat Kyle Busch on Thursday at the NASCAR Xfinity Series race in Darlington. That is a tremendous accomplishment, but he was racing with a heavy heart, as on Tuesday, him and his wife did find out that his wife had a miscarriage. Chase Briscoe will tell us his story next when we return. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. 21 past the hour, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We did speak about yesterday the very emotional victory and story where Chase Briscoe did defeat Kyle Busch on Thursday at the NASCAR Xfinity Series race in Darlington. And the story is so much more than that. The race was supposed to happen on Tuesday and did get postponed to Thursday because of bad weather. And on Tuesday, Chase Briscoe did get some news that, quite frankly, no one should receive when him and his family and his wife were getting a checkup as they were due to have a baby in the winter. And unfortunately, his wife did have a miscarriage. And we did see on Thursday Chase not only race, but then win the race. And it was a story that we could all look at during these times and really root for someone like Chase Briscoe, who is kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on CBS Sports Radio. Chase, first off, I can't thank you enough for doing this. Our entire audience is rooting for you and your family, and we're thinking of you. And thanks for coming on and considering everything that has happened since Tuesday. How are you doing?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Doing as good as we can, I guess. Obviously Tuesday was really rough, but then to have the triumph of Thursday definitely is helping. Definitely feels like a weight of sense has been lifted off our shoulders, but definitely doesn't change the fact of what we're going through, but certainly helps.
You know this, whenever someone goes through a tough time, that we really do lean on others to help. And in your platform, obviously you have your inner circle, but you have a group of some people you know and some people that you don't know with your fans that are always pulling for you and there to support you. What has the support meant that you've got from everyone around the world really since Tuesday when you shared the story?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. You know, we talked back and forth. We knew we were going to share it eventually. We didn't know when we were going to share it, and obviously we found out Tuesday afternoon, and we decided to go public with it Wednesday. And, you know, we knew that we were going to have a lot of people reach out to us, but we never fathomed, you know, how many people would reach out and how many people were going through the same thing we were going through at the same time or in the past, and just so many you know, peers and of other drivers, crew chiefs, officials, people in other sports reach out. I mean, it's just been unbelievable. It's really brought a little bit of joy to, you know, a really sad time for us. So, you know, like I said, whether it's fans or whoever, you know, we've just been trying to look at this as this is kind of the cards we've been dealt, and we know that God has a reason for it all. And, you know, if we can just help one other couple, you know, going through this time and kind of be a light for them, and that's what we're going to try to be. So, you know, it's definitely been unbelievable, the outreach and just the amount of people that have obviously picked up the story. And then, you know, just between Marissa and I, you know, just on two posts, each of us posted once, and we've had over 1 million impressions. So definitely unbelievable the amount of people that have reached out and been there for us.
I can't imagine what you and your wife are going through right now with everything going on, not only with the coronavirus pandemic, but then on Tuesday you were getting set for the race and you wanted to be with your wife and you're on the FaceTime call where you get the unfortunate news that eventually the race does get postponed. How'd you get through Tuesday when you look back on it?
Yeah, I think Tuesday was probably the hardest thing just because, you know, in general, just being on FaceTime, not being able to be there for that appointment, whether it goes good or bad, is tough. You know, I wanted to be there. I never even got to experience any of the doctor's visits. And, you know, to do it over FaceTime when I'm 2 hours away and know what she's going through and not being able there to comfort her was certainly hard. And then, you know, even for myself to be, you know, in Darlington at the racetrack, well, you know, we're self-quarantined, so it's not like I could go talk to my team or, you know, anybody in the sport. I was stuck where I was in the motorhome just waiting it out, and, you know, the rain just kept coming and coming, and, you know, it made it tough just because, obviously, I wanted to be home, she wanted me to be home, and I was stuck in Darlington just to, in case it did quit raining. So, you know, that was hard. You know, getting home Tuesday night definitely, I think, helped us both, just finally being able to be with each other after, you know, almost 9 hours of being apart after we found out. So, you know, it was, you know, definitely something that we'll never forget for the rest of our lives. But then, you know, the same thing on Thursday, to experience that low of a low, and then on Thursday to experience a high like we did, to, you know, just kind of turn everything around in a sense and kind of get us trended back the other direction.
How did you pull yourself to race on Thursday and not only race, but win the race and have such a enormous victory in your career defeating Kyle Busch?
Yeah, you know, God was a huge part of that. And, you know, it was never a question of if I was going to race or not race. I knew that getting in the race car would probably be the best therapy for me. And then I'd even told Marissa on Wednesday that, you know, I was going to win for her. And, you know, down deep, I didn't necessarily know I was going to win by any means, but I knew I was going to give it, you know, the hardest try I could. And, you know, that was really my way of being able to show that, you know, just that I'm there for her. I'm doing everything I can because I can't even fathom what she's going through. So, you know, going down there, it was just everything worked out perfect. You know, we caught cautions at the right time. Our pit stops were, you know, perfect. Just every little detail that it takes to win a race just went in our favor. And, you know, things like that normally don't happen. So to be able to do that and beat Kyle Busch, who's probably one of the best of all time in our sport, is a huge thing and just made it that much sweeter.
Chase Briscoe here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. With all that you're going through, can you appreciate the accomplishment that you did go through on Thursday in just simply getting the victory?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, it definitely is a different type of feeling of victory. You know, normally when we win, you know, we're happy, but this one was more of just, you know, relief. And, you know, there's a lot of sadness involved too. You know, I was literally sobbing after the checkered game, and, you know, even while I was out there, just mentally, I wasn't 100% in the race. I was thinking about other things. I knew Marissa was at home watching, and I knew our families were both watching. So there's just a lot on my shoulders, and, you know, like I said, I was just thinking about them a lot. So it definitely doesn't feel like another victory just because, you know, we didn't celebrate. And just the celebration, you know, that we had in NASCAR right now with everything going on with COVID-19 is totally different. You know, we don't have victory lane with our team. We have to stay separate from each other. So I didn't really get to celebrate anything. But I think, you know, it's still a celebration in a sense when I got home and got to see Marissa. And we were able to talk about our day and, you know, and then see that the response from the fans and, you know, other athletes and drivers was just, I think, the biggest thing that we've ever experienced.
After you saw your wife after winning on Thursday, what did she say to you? What was that conversation like as Chase Briscoe's here with us?
Yeah, you know, right after the race, I got back and I instantly FaceTimed her. You know, she was still really sad. She was over at her brother's house with all of her family. And obviously, it was really emotional for all of them to watch the race unfold. And, you know, she was still sad, obviously. And then once I got home, we had talked the two-hour drive all the way home just about how this, maybe what was meant to be, maybe we can be an inspiration to others, and this is kind of our testimony. And when we got home, you know, we definitely hugged each other and held each other tight. There was a couple of tears shed, but it was a lot better. You know, today's been a lot better. Just trying to stay positive and, you know, keep focused and just keep moving forward.
I don't know how you did it with all that you're going through, and then you have to drive a car at a big time high speed. With all that's going on, how did you physically keep your focus on the task at hand? Because I saw one of those post-game interviews, post-race interviews, and you said that you took the lead with 50 laps to go, that you had tears in your eye, and you were crying, and you talked about that emotion. So how'd you keep your focus, Chase?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I just felt like, you know, God and our daughter were in the car. Just so many things that, you know, happened in those last couple laps. Just it just felt different, you know, and even on the last lap, I'd gotten the wall, and typically in our cars, whenever you do hit the wall, it kind of sucks you into it, and it makes it really hard to get the wall, and, you know, it just so happened I hit the wall, and I almost felt like I gained speed and just bounced right off of it. So, you know, I definitely mentally wasn't in 100% in the race car, you know, just thinking about other things, and I felt like I made a lot of mistakes, and, you know, there were so many times in that race I thought I was going to hit the wall and you know, hit the wall hard enough that my car was going to get tore up, and then I would get right to the wall, and it was like a cushion was there, and I wouldn't even touch it. So it was just definitely a very different day in the race car, and, you know, definitely had an angel watching over me.
You discussed the eventual postponement that did happen on Tuesday. Thursday, there was another weather delay that was almost 5 hours. I think it was 4.5 hours to be close, you know, in the exact time of it. What did you do? Because you talked about how it was going to be therapeutic for you, and you wanted to get in the car and you wanted to race. When you're waiting for that moment, how'd you get through that during the extra delay that did happen on Thursday?
Yeah, it was tough. You know, me and Marissa had talked Wednesday night about how hard it was going to be being away from each other again for a whole day, and we'd both looked at the radar, and I had to leave at 6 a.m. on Thursday morning to be down there, and you know, the race was supposed to start at 12, and it didn't start till almost 3 or 4 o'clock. And you know, there for a little bit, the radar looked like we weren't even going to start the race till 10 p.m. So, you know, I just called Marissa a lot, talked on the phone to, you know, close friends of mine, and just tried to pass the time as best as I could, and try to keep my mind off of it and stay focused. And then, you know, before the race started, I called Marissa again, and you know, honestly, that gave me a lot of motivation as well. So, you know, like I was saying, I felt like being in the race car was going to be therapy, and I felt like it was, at least for me and my grieving process. It's still definitely not gone, but I don't think it ever will be, but it definitely was nice for me to be able to get back in the race car and just kind of get my mind off of things. And like I said, try to, you know, just be there for Marissa and show her my support.
For you personally and then professionally, what's next for Chase Briscoe?
I mean, I don't know, just leaving it in God's hands, you know, personally and professionally. You know, this year is my second year in the Xfinity Series, and really trying to win a championship. And the ultimate goal is obviously to move up to the Cup Series and race on Sundays. And that's the goal for every young race car driver, and myself included. And personally, you know, just trying to be the best husband I can be. And, you know, that's all you can do, I think, and just be the man of God that you can try to be. So just trying to do those two things.
Well, Chase, once again, we're thinking about you and your wife, Marissa. We really do appreciate the time. Best of luck moving forward, and we're thinking about you once again. You didn't have to do this, but I really do appreciate you joining us for a few minutes.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Stay safe. There's Chase Briscoe joining us. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know how he did that. If you think about that, on Tuesday, you get the worst news that a couple was looking forward to their eventual birth of their daughter, which would have been, the due date was December. And then he's getting ready for the race, and it's raining, and he's on FaceTime, and they're trying to see the heartbeat of their child, and they find out that it's a miscarriage. Then he has to sit there. Race eventually gets postponed. Wednesday night, he tells his wife he's going to win the race for her, and then he does that on Thursday, not only winning the race, but defeating Kyle Busch. Just such an emotional and moving story, and that's someone you could always root for in Chase Briscoe, and his wife, too. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will break here.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Ah, you hear that music. That means one thing, right? Football is here, right? Kind of. We're waiting for football. We're hoping football starts on time. We don't know if it will start on time, and we don't know how it will look like. Will there be fans in the stands? Will there not be fans in the stands? Well, what we've been doing to try to give you your football fix is a week-by-week simulation of the 2020 season. We do a week of the NFL season each day on the show, and right now we are in week 9. And we start things off in week 9 with a matchup that it's going to be a good one. Should be a good one. We hope it's a good one. Last year when these two teams played, though, it was on paper going to be a good one, and it was lopsided both times, and the 49ers both times did dismantle the Green Bay Packers. Will there be some revenge? Will there be some redemption to kick off week 9 in the 2020 NFL season? With the Packers going up against the 49ers, or will the 49ers win once again? I've been kind to the Packers so far. I've also been very kind to the 49ers. How can't you be? I think both those teams are going to be good this year. But this is the game for the Packers, where what their front office did this offseason ends up hurting them. Aaron Rodgers, we know, is going to try to do everything in his power to get this victory. But at the end of the day, 49ers offensive and defensive lines are just too much. And the Packers' run defense is going to get abused. And the 49ers, it will be closer than the last two times. It won't be a blowout, but the 49ers will get the victory. 49ers defeat the Packers to kick off week 9. Giants at the Redskins. It's tough to get a feel on either of these two football teams. I think the Redskins have the better defense led by Jack Del Rio this season. I look offensively, though, I don't think the Redskins have much. What will Dwayne Haskins do this year? McLaurin had a nice rookie season last year. In this one, though, I'm going to just trust more Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. But you get that matchup, Dwayne Haskins going up against Daniel Jones. Giants passing up on Dwayne Haskins in the draft to take Daniel Jones at 6 overall. And I do think that the Giants end up winning this game in sloppy, low-scoring fashion. Let's go 20-17. Game number 3, Bears at the Tennessee Titans. I think Tennessee is the better team. And I have not been kind to Chicago so far through this simulation. I'm going to take the Bears, though, in this one. Nick Foles will outduel Ryan Tannehill. Bears defense will get to Tannehill. They'll get beat up a little bit, that Bears defense, by Derrick Henry. Tannehill, though, will make too many mistakes up against that Bears defense. And Nick Foles, at this point of the season, finds a way to manage the game and maybe get Allen Robinson a touchdown or two. And the Bears do walk out with the victory up against the Tennessee Titans. Lions at the Vikings. Not much analysis here. If the Vikings don't win this game, well, then all you chalk it up to is that it's a divisional game and anything could happen. But on paper, I have to take the Vikings over the Lions. Panthers at the Chiefs. Panthers, offensively, will put up some points. There are some question marks with Teddy Bridgewater. We don't know what he will look like over the span of a 16-game season. We're talking about them going up against Kansas City, though. Patrick Mahomes will throw a touchdown in this game over and over and over and over and over again. Chiefs maybe get a good first half out of the Panthers, but ultimately they will roll all over Carolina. Texans at the Jaguars. Texans I've been up and down on. Is Deshaun Watson, though, really going to lose to Gardner Minshew? Yeah, I don't see it. Texans, they beat the Jaguars. Ravens at the Colts. Ravens only have one loss on my simulation so far. I also did have them beating the Chiefs earlier in the season. Upset alert, though. Loss number 2 on the 2020 campaign for the Ravens. Colts, who are another team that they've been on the seesaw, going up and down. Coaching by Frank Reich here. Good offensive line play. they find a way to get a tough victory and maybe force Lamar Jackson to make a mistake or two late in the game. Ravens will be fine. They'll rebound. They're one of the better teams in the National Football League. Heck, at week 9 to only have 2 losses. That's not me being critical of them. I think they're going to be really good this year. I think they're the second best team in the AFC. Colts, though, will get an upset, and they'll do so at home. Next up, Seahawks at the Bills. This is another big test, big statement game for Buffalo. I think it's close. I think the Bills actually take a 7-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Then you get some heroics, though, from Russell Wilson. And the Seahawks I did see earlier today, actually like an hour or two ago, they signed Carlos Hyde. I don't know what their running back room is going to look like with all the injuries that they suffered last year and how healthy everyone will be. Clearly the Seahawks, though, and yes, they do have Russell Wilson, and you know in the clutch they're going to rely on him. But expect them to run the football and be a diverse football team. And they've made that commitment in recent memory, really over the last year. And you look back at that running back room, Chris Carson, Rashad Penny both coming off injuries, and you get Carlos Hyde, who very quietly last year was a 1,000-yard rusher. So I do take the Seahawks coming from behind and getting a victory up against the Buffalo Bills. Broncos at the Falcons. This is a big game for the Broncos. Now, I don't expect the Falcons to be great. I expect them to be improved this year. And then again, it's tough to expect anything out of Atlanta with what has happened since the 28-3. Some may call it debacle. I call it a great moment. But that was a devastating collapse, clearly, for the Falcons. For the Broncos, though, I look at the overall team, and I think they're a better team than the Falcons. The one concern I have is what is going to happen with Drew Lock at the quarterback position. This is a game where Drew Lock goes up against a former NFL MVP, may not always be pretty, but finds a way to get the job done. Let's go 27-24, late field goal by Temple's own Brandon McManus to kick the Broncos to a victory over the Falcons. The Las Vegas Raiders up against the Chargers. I've been tough on the Raiders, very tough on the Raiders. At this point, with how tough I've been, maybe Marcus Mariota's in at quarterback. Will Justin Herbert or Tyrod Taylor be under center at week 9 for the Los Angeles Chargers? Once again, close game. I'll take the Raiders, though. Jacobs has a very good game on the ground. Good offensive line with the two bookends at tackle in Miller and Brown. I'm going with the Raiders to make Stuart Kovacs a little bit more happier. Steelers at the Cowboys. Whew. Both these teams, you can see the potential for this year, but you're not sold yet. Cowboys have some defensive problems. Steelers, what will Big Ben look like coming off injury? Can Juju be the number one guy? And can James Conner stay healthy? You have two titans when we look at how these two organizations are viewed in the National Football League. Two historic NFL franchises. Game comes right down to the wire. Dak Prescott with a new contract has the ball late. Finds Gallup. Finds CeeDee Lamb. Finds Amari Cooper, gets to the 5, and then Ezekiel Elliott, with about 30 seconds left, gets a rushing touchdown, and the Cowboys, at home, in Jerry's World, with fans, without fans, I don't know, but they get a victory and give a loss out to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Next up, Dolphins at the Cardinals. Will we see Tua? If you do, you get Tua and Kyler Murray. If not, it's Fitzmagic up against Kyler Murray. Cardinals offense gets him a victory. Isaiah Simmons maybe makes a few big plays. I'll take the Cardinals. Saints at the Bucs. Last time these two teams met was week 1. I gave the victory to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This time around, though, Saints split. They get the victory led by Drew Brees. Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and even Cam Jordan makes a big play defensively. Give me the Saints over the Bucs. Pats at the Jets. This is the Monday Night Football game. Last year, on Monday Night Football, Patriots and Jets, that was the boogeyman game. That was Sam Darnold. I'm seeing ghosts. This time, though, with no Tom Brady, Sam Darnold gets some redemption. In a sloppy, low-scoring game, Sam Darnold defeats my New England Patriots, and the New York Jets wrap up Week 9 with the victory. So once again, to recap, Packers at the 49ers, I take the 49ers. Giants at the Redskins, I take the Giants. Bears versus the Titans, I take the Bears. Lions at the Vikings, I go with cold like Minnesota, the Minnesota Vikings. Panthers at the Chiefs, Patty Mahomes continues to roll along. Texans at the Jaguars, Texans get the dub. Ravens at the Colts, Colts stun the Ravens. Seahawks at the Bills, Seahawks get the victory on the road in chilly Buffalo. Broncos at the Falcons, Broncos led by Drew Lock do get things moving in the right direction. Raiders at the Chargers, I go with the Raiders. Steelers at the Cowboys, I take the Cowboys. Dolphins at the Cardinals, I go with Arizona. Saints at the Bucks, I take New Orleans. And Patriots at the Jets, I go with the Jets. Those are the Week 9 picks in our simulation. And on Monday, we will do Week 10. All right, it's Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. A lot going on with hockey right now as we're waiting to see when hockey will come back. Today, they actually had a vote, the NHL Players Association, on if they would approve the 2014 playoff format in the return to play action. We don't have the results yet, but Jason Greger did tweet out the NHLPA has voted not to receive their final paycheck. Also, while not unanimous, some top teams not loving the format. Sources tell Jason that the NHLPA will approve the 2014 playoff. The representative for the Arizona Coyotes is Derek Stepan. He joins us next on CBS Sports Radio to try to give us an update on when we can expect hockey back.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.